Welcome to NGA Art Talk, a monthly podcast offering you deeper understanding of all things artistic, including talks with artists, curators, conservators, and collectors. Dorothy and Herbert Vogel have amassed one of the greatest collections of minimal, conceptual, and post-minimal art in the world, acquiring works by some of the most important contemporary artists of our time, including Christo and Jean-Claude, Sol LeWitt, Richard Tuttle, and Pat Steer. Curator of Special Projects in Modern Art, Ruth Fine, spoke with the Vogels shortly after they announced the Dorothy and Herbert Vogel Collection, 50 Works for 50 States Project, which will distribute their vast collection across the country for all to enjoy. In part one of this three-part podcast, the Vogels discuss how they met and how they started collecting art.
Well, Dorothy and Herbie, we've been talking together for a lot of years now, and I think it would be fun if you would start out by telling a little bit about the early years of your collection, how you met, how you started collecting, what some of your first purchases were.
I met Herbie in, I think, November of 1960, and I had gone to a resort that summer in the Poconos called Tamamint. And in the fall, in November, there was a reunion of people who went to that resort. And Herbie was there. Herbie didn't go to the resort. He just heard about the reunion and was at the event. He remembers seeing me from another event a week before, but I was talking to another guy and he didn't want to come up. And I think I must have looked interesting to him. So when he saw me a week later at this event, that's how I met him. And we started dating, and he never talked about art when I went out with him. We went to movies, and we went out to dinner, and I knew he took art classes, and I knew he was interested in it, but he didn't really talk about it too much. And then in 1962, we got married, and we came to Washington on our honeymoon, and the first place we came to was the National Gallery, and that's where I started learning about art. We would go through the different rooms, and he would give me art history courses in front of the paintings themselves. And to this day, I don't like looking at slides. I learned about art by looking at art. And after we came back from Washington and settled in, we started going to art galleries together. When I met Herbie, he had a few things. He had a drawing of birdies by Larry Rivers. He had a Picasso print, a lithograph of a bull. And it turned out to be the Museum of Modern Art had a copy of the same lithograph. And in fact, that one was used as the cover of a book of his lithographs. And actually, Herbie said that was the first thing he bought.
What were some of the galleries you went to right after you were married?
Do you remember Dorothy?
Oh, yeah, of course. Martha Jackson, Ellie Poindexter, Leo Castelli, Betty Parsons. We went to them all.
And you started collecting art that many found difficult.
Well, the first piece we bought together was a small crushed car piece by John Chamberlain. And I had no idea anybody could possibly call it difficult. It was so visual and so beautiful and intriguing. I think that a lot of people were surprised that we bought a lot of the minimal conceptual, everything reduced to the basis of the color, the line, the information. It's reduced. And some people want things that are more flamboyant or they're more explicit or not as subtle. And the conceptual, some people don't understand why an artwork can be an idea and not actually be executed. And that's a concept that a lot of people were slow to understand and appreciate.
Who were some of the artists that you collected from the very start? And I know some people were particularly influential.
Well, we bought our first Sol LeWitt, I think in 1965. And that work was made out of wood, I think. It was a gold color, and it was a primary structure. And it was so early that when he came over, he was doing work that was more in black and white and more modular, and he initiated a change of taking that down and getting one of his more later works. Now, we, of course, would have kept it and gotten still a newer piece. But at that time, we're still learning about collecting. And we got a piece by him that was a black modular piece, but it was vertical and we couldn't stand it up. And again, we were stupid and said we wanted something we could show. So he took it away again and we got a piece that was horizontal, which we can put in the apartment. And that's the piece now owned by the National Gallery. But again, if we were smart, we would have kept that medium piece and not let it go. But he did make a model of that piece, and we have a drawing as a remembrance of that one that we couldn't have, that we had, and then we didn't keep.
The one that got away.
Yes.
Have there been others that got away?
Yes, there was an early Andy Warhol stamp piece. This is around Thanksgiving time when we first got married, and we went to Martha Jackson and saw this early Andy Warhol piece of airmail stamps. And, of course, Herbie worked for the post office, so Martha showed it to us, and Herbie said, we'll buy it, we'll pay by cash. And I didn't realize at the time that they would have accepted a check, and I had enough money in my checking account I could have paid for it. But she said she would hold it for us, and when we came back, she sold it to someone else because apparently they had the ready cash or whatever. And it was, as I said, over Thanksgiving, and we had company, and we just waited like a few extra days. By then, we lost that. So now we learned that when you see something, you get it right away. And now I learned that if someone says to pay cash, I can pay by check. So we made a few mistakes in the beginning. And the other mistake sometimes, if we have a choice between two works, we would have got one. Then we learned we should get the two.
Well, in many instances, you've gotten many, many, many more than two works by
artists. Yes, yes, yes.
You've collected in a way that you represent people in a very diverse overview of their careers.
Well, we made relationships with different artists. We were able to follow their careers, and we were able to go to their studio on a periodic basis. And they liked us coming down because I think that we gave good feedback to them. We were told this later, that if we chose something over something else, that sort of influenced them in going to different directions. And because of our relationship to the artists, we were able to develop a lot of the work in depth. And this was like for Ed Aronoff and Richard Tuttle, and we got a lot of Sol Lewitz because of our personal relationships with them.
Talk a little bit, Herbie, about your relationship with Richard Tuttle.
Well, he's a good friend of ours, and I find his art very interesting. And I try to keep up with it because I like it so much, and I like him. But that's two of the main reasons why we collect his works.
You have hundreds of pieces by Richard Tuttle from over the
years.
Well,
he's a close friend, or at least we think he is.
A lot of artists have said that they admire your eye a great deal, that they really appreciate the way you talk to them when you're visiting them in the studio. People like Etta Renouf and Pat Steer have both said that to me over the years.
Well, we were very serious, Dorothy and I. When we went there, we were just very interested in what they were doing at the time that they were doing it. And that's the way we learned, and we also collected that way.
In the beginning, not many people were interested in the type of art we liked, like the minimal conceptual. And the artists didn't have that many people coming to their studios, and they appreciated our just coming down. You didn't have to buy. They just appreciated our looking. Mm-hmm. And many we gave our opinion and our feedback. And I think like Bob Mangold would be included in that as well. We were lucky that we were able to know the artists so well, because I think this, to me, enriched the collection for me, that I was able to know the artists, know their ideas, and I was able to understand the work of some artists from other artists' point of view because we knew them so well.
Right, and then within not that many years, you started getting visits from museum professionals as well.
Yes.
And exhibitions started happening from the collection. Can you
tell
us a little bit about those early museum visits?
What happened was that one person would tell another, and somehow the people at the Stedelijk in Amsterdam were friends of some of the artists, and they started asking to come down, and they told other people. And I used to say that in the summertime, well, everybody was going to Amsterdam to visit the museums there. People in Amsterdam are coming to visit us. So it was mostly word of mouth. We started having exhibitions starting in 1975
was the first exhibition
at
the Clock Tower.
That's right.
So 75 talk a little bit about that.
That one was, that first show was organized by Alana Heiss, mm-hmm. who was head of the Institute for Art and Urban Resources.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to show some of the collection for a while, but we kept saying we only would show if there was some kind of catalog and they did insurance and they had guards. Those were our stipulations. And at the time she asked us, she didn't have those things. But she promised a little catalog, which she did. She got Wells Fargo to be the guard, and she had them insured. So in 1975, I think in the May, around then, we had our first exhibition. And the Salawit that is downstairs at the National Gallery now, the scribble one, was in that show. Yeah, I think there were 40 artists in all, one by each artist.
Right.
And later that September, October, that fall, we had a big, big show at the University of Pennsylvania, ICA, organized by Suzanne Delahanty, and there were like 200 works. That show traveled to Cincinnati, I think their Contemporary Arts Center.
Right.
And then from there, we started having exhibitions many places all over.
Well, Dorothy and Herbert Vogel, I want to thank you very much for joining us here at the National Gallery of Art.
Thank you.
It is our pleasure.
You've been listening to NGA Art Talk. Check back on the first Tuesday of each month for new podcast episodes.